Achan, just now we hear sound, and it just occurred to me that when we know that it comes from this or that direction, it's thinking. But I'm still wondering whether there's any reality which can tell, can give the idea of the direction or not.
Yes, thinking.
Only thinking.
Six Taoists.
What can condition the thinking to know that it comes from there and not from
the object
there?
Yeah.
So the direction is a concept.
When it's not reality.
Yes. But if there's no reality, there'd be no concept. So what would be the reality which gives rise to the concept?
Only two kinds, that which can experience and that which cannot experience. Only two.
Just the same as we were saying yesterday about visible object, just that which is seen, but by mentioning each visible object is completely different, and because each visible object is completely different, or each sound is completely different, there are conditions to think in different ways. Sanya, to mark each object, and thinking to think in all sorts of different ways, but as soon as there's an idea of direction, then it's just thinking about what has been heard.
I can see about the different characteristics of the audible object, like different kind of sounds and that kind of things, but just for this like direction, it's only thinking, or is there any... No.
Well, the sound is exactly just the sound, just that which is heard, just that which appears exactly as it is. And then any other idea about it immediately is thinking about it. But, yeah, each sound is different from each other sound. So when the car passes, the sound is different from at this moment. But as soon as there's an idea of car sound or wind sound or distant sound, it's just thinking about it immediately. But if the sounds were the same, there wouldn't be thinking in different ways.
I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
And so just like we said about the visible object, as soon as there's trying to kind of pinpoint what exactly the sound is, then it's not understanding the characteristic of that which appears at that moment, that which, just that which is heard.
It doesn't matter that it's a dog over there or here. It doesn't matter, the sound.
Jan, I wonder if you would just help with the description of Panya as a parami. May I just read? It's just a short description. Wisdom Panya has the characteristic of penetrating the real specific nature of dhammas, or the characteristic of sure penetration like the penetration of an arrow shot by a skillful archer. Its function is to illuminate the objective field like a lamp. Its manifestation is non-confusion, like a guide in a forest. Concentration, or the Four Noble Truths, is its proximate cause. The part that I wonder if you would comment on is that one about its function is to illuminate the objective field like a lamp.
Are we in darkness now?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that very much goes to what you often say about Panya experiences all realities except visible object. in darkness.
It understands the nature of realities.
Right. So to illuminate there is just another way of saying understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Opposite of darkness.
Right. And the last part where it says... concentration, or the Four Noble Truths, is its proximate cause.
For
Panya.
For Panya.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that...
Without any reality, can Panya understand anything?
And the concentration must arise with every citta.
I think that the word concentration is at moment of experiencing an object.
Yes. And the Four Noble Truths are also in terms of realities.
Now,
yes.
See?
Yes.
Not the third one yet.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this section on Panya is, I certainly won't read it all, and I'm sure many people are familiar with it, how it talks about how each of the paramis interact with Panya.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really happen by themselves. Yes, yes, but I suppose by just that description of when the Buddha, I forget what Udanya, had that sense of urgency, and then all the other paramis were combined to him going on to fulfill the perfection of Panya.
And what is parami in reality? Parami.
A reality.
Many realities.
Kusla. It's kusla reality.
Just kusla? Only kusla? Or more than just kusla?
I'm not sure.
Where are we now when there is no right understanding? Are at the other side of the sea or ocean, full of akusala. In order to reach the other side, how come? Without understanding and all kinds of parami. From ignorance to panya, see? And to that highly developed panya, which can penetrate the true nature of realities right now, as just arising and falling away.
About karma, but actually I know the answer that I'm going to ask. Anyway, I was reading about Kokalika, who spoke harshly about Sariputta and Moggallana and suggested that they actually were full of attachments, and he repeated it three times even when warned by the Buddha, and as a result on his body was covered with blisters. And then what reminded me was the little fruits the other day, jujube fruits, and then later larger balua fruits, and burst and pus and blood oozed out. He became very ill, died, and was reborn in the Paduva hell on account of having ill will towards Sariputta and Moggallana. And my question is, we know that actually the karma is the chetana, which brings the results, but we also know that there are so many unfathomable aspects to karma, such as the fact that it was on account of such great arahats that were abused on account of their qualities. So it's actually a combination of the intention, at that moment, and on account of the qualities of those who were abused. So can we say it's not just the intention, or that the intention must be stronger in that case, or just we can't begin to
can
admit?
Anything happen without the appropriate conditions?
Just the conditions, that's all. And we can never understand all the details.
I'm thinking of the paramis, because we discussed this Lucas also, what Lucas thinks about it. Do you think it's very beneficial or useful to have, well, not to have, but to develop all kinds of kusala through body, speech and mind? That is the paramis, with the idea that it is beneficial to have less defilement.
I don't know, because I don't know. I mean,
but you know,
I'm quite insensitive to samatha. I mean, to appreciate kusala, I'm quite insensitive to that kind of wisdom that can appreciate. I think if I would have a lot of kusala, I would not smoke and everything would be fine. But this panya doesn't want to appear so often.
Not thinking so much of not smoking, but like metta and compassion and patience and determination to go on developing the Eightfold Path, and not to coming to a halt halfway. That is so we read about that, that the Bodhisattva was so convinced not coming to a halt halfway, but whatever would happen in his life, he would go on developing understanding, no matter what circumstances. That is determination.
Yeah, like metta, the point is I never know when it arises. Never, because that's why I don't know how to develop metta. I know the metta, but it's so natural. Like, no rule, actually, how that it will come, it may come. Like, no, I don't know, but that's why I don't understand how to develop.
Yeah, it arises by conditions,
yeah.
And by its arising, it develops. So we don't have to think of a self who is developing it. You are right about that. By its arising, it develops. There are conditions for more afterwards, that it will arise again afterwards. So each moment is precious, each moment of kusala. And repeated what was said in Poland to her, that when you think of the benefit of someone else and you don't think of yourself, your own pleasure, it's a condition for more metta. You repeated so well what Ajahn said to you in Poland.
When what? When?
In Poland, the last bit of a conversation.
It's not what I said, it's what Ajahn said.
Yes, and then you said.
Yes, I guess I did. I put it on the... All right, yes, I did. But we can be very consumed with worry or concern about, doesn't matter what it is that we're consumed with. But the, if one is fortunate enough to have a reminder arise spontaneously or some other way, what about metta towards others?
What about metta towards others?
Well, it takes you out of if there are kusala jitas, there are no akusala jita at that time, and that helping others, considering others, is always of benefit. And I found that reminder, what about metta in times of difficulty, a very good one. Now there need to be conditions for it to arise, but that conversation, that reminder from Ajahn on that occasion.
What did Ajahn say on the occasion?
What about others? What about thinking of others? What about kindness, metta, towards others?
Because
not just worrying and concern.
Then you are not concerned with yourself.
That's
and that
right.
really
That's
helped
right.
very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is the thinking. This is the kind of thinking that had arise for me.
Yeah,
for my husband. How can I do, what can I do for him that would make him happier and would make him so depressed or negative?
The point is, I cannot get anything now, anything. I don't understand this, really. But for me, for example, thinking about others leads to more regret. For example, I think with the worries or I think with pity, it's not actually the wholesomeness that comes, even that, you know, I can help someone, yes?
Mm-hmm.
But it may be with loba or it may be with concern, but the way of pity and or by the way of how you say not regret this when you worried about something.
Kukucha, yeah.
But in English.
Worry or regret is good.
Yeah, it's yeah. like you know.
Good,
but for me, for what helps for metta is just understanding. Because on the SG there was points for someone, people, for example, say what Ajahn teach doesn't lead to metta because there is no self. And for metta there must be concept of a being. But what I found myself, that for me metta is not like when I start to think about others, but it's just a moment.
That's
that
right.
comes without any kind of speculation or thinking,
right.
then
no.
it's gone.
So because it falls away immediately,
yeah.
so no point in thinking
and
about it.
Yeah.
But you think that you have too many akusala chitas, but
Ooh.
You forget that in between there are also kusala chitas, just for a moment. You forget that.
But Ajahn said everything to be forgotten.
Lucas, we don't want to keep you in the hot seat for too long, but
yes,
I think it's clear that you can see that not developing understanding, but understanding is the condition for metta. You cannot just decide to develop metta in isolation from panya. That's what the about paramis was about. The paramis are connected to understanding.
Yeah, it's really hard now.
Yes.
It's all my akusala, you know.
Yes.
It's hard to go out.
Yes.
That's worrying about all my akusala.
Yeah.
that's it's mine, it's taking it for self and worrying about it.
Yeah.
And trust me, I understand worry about problems.
And I think that because everyone talks about him,
yes.
so that is the concentrated yes. object for metta or anything. But I think that in a day, we don't have to think whether we have metta towards these people or not. But there must be speaking and doing and thinking. So at that very moment, even right now, who can think about whether there is metta, see? Are you thinking about having metta to this or that person? But what about the speech and the deeds? At moment when it's done, you know that it's because of such thinking. You don't have to call it kusala or akusala. It's conditioned by such moment of citta.
Speech?
Yeah. And deeds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It cannot be done without citta. So whatever is done is helpful or what you think that it's suitable to do and something like that, thinking of the others. At moment of thinking about the other, you do something and your speech is for that person to feel better or something like that. Like you see someone crying, what would you do?
Nothing.
If you can do, will you do? See? You give...
What can I do?
You give food to the fish.
Yes.
See? the deeds. So you know that it's because of what kind of citta. And by understanding that, you can see that it's lopa, attachment, or metta.
Yes.
By understanding, you have metta instead of lopa.
Yes.
When there's more and more understanding.
I have a question, Ajahn.
Okay.
Because... Yeah, it seems true. But shall I go and help?
Shall again?
Because yes, there is deeds. They are speech.
It depends on what citta prompted.
No, my citta is not.
It's not your citta.
It's not
your citta. It's just that which arises at that very moment. You feel what you call. Sympathetic or understanding or things like that towards that moment, situation. The fish does not cry and you gave the food to the fish. But if someone which is not the fish crying, what would you do? You might not think about that at all when time does not come. But when that happens, right then, it depends on citta. To understand the feelings of that who cries. In my life, what I wouldn't like to experience is crying. Because I think that that person must be very... sorrowful that it conditions such crying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that I couldn't stand that kind of feeling for that person who cries too much for me.
And Ajahn, may I ask something?
Yes.
What citta then you have?
I felt sorrow.
Sadness.
Too much for me to have such sadness, seeing someone cries brokenheartedly or something like that.
Think, you know, gentle speech, kind speech can be with metta. And you don't even have to be talking about metta or whatever to do it, but its opposite would be harsh speech. So at the moments of gentle speech, there can be moments of kusala, of restraining from harsh speech. For instance, you're talking about being worried and concerned, and you're still able to utter gentle speech. Barry.
Yeah, for me, when I talk, it's always a kusala, but when I do not talk, it's kusala. Yeah, really. Yeah, it's like something like this.
Please talk a kusala.
Give us a little kusala demonstration.
No, I mean, always when I say something, it's a kusala, but when I don't speak, it's sometimes maybe, I think, like restraint from then.
Yes.
Talk to a cat or a dog. See? With kusala or akusala? Usually, I think, with kusala. Like, how are you, or something like that, see?
Lucas, Ajahn just said a few moments ago about how all the focus is on you. In actual fact, considering Kusra and Akusra is applies
to all of us.
To all. Yeah.
But Ajahn not is very good.
Sorry.
The you talk about me, then I stop listening.
Yes, yeah? That's right. Yeah, exactly, that's exactly, good. And that's why, in some ways, it's better to keep bringing it back to. This is.
Let's talk about
that. I think it is important to remember when actually Lucas made this point that it is just about dharmas. It's not Lucas's accumulations or my accumulations or anyone's, because it's just dharmas and those that have gone have completely gone, as he mentioned, and it's just realities which appear now. And it may be that metta doesn't appear now, but visible object may appear, or sound, or hearing, or seeing. So whenever we start thinking about Lucas's accumulations, we forget all about dharmas as anatta too.
Do you have all kusala citta? Want to try helping now? I start asking.
You know the answer.
Yes, you have.
And what's the answer?
We do not have all kusala jitas. There are not all kusala jitas.
Not many.
That's right, not many. We live in a sea of akusala.
But I, for example, it's good to read suttas. That's good reminder from time to time. Like, everyone is born with axe, like a speech, that it may harm very, very severe. So that's like a bit, maybe consideration that to restrain or not harm others. Yeah, for me only suttas are a reminder, a good reminder, not the particular way. Sometimes.
Ajahn, you said something earlier when Maeve was reading out from the definition, an explanation of Banya from the book, and about the Four Noble Truths. You said something about the first and my memory is correct, the first and second now, but not the third.
What's the third?
Anatta.
Nibbana.
Okay. Parinibbana. Yeah.
Nibbana.
Nibbana. Okay.
It seems like there's all this information, jitta, all the jetta seekers, all their functions, a lot of, I guess, intellectual understanding. But I guess the missing factor is to really know them is panya. If there's no understanding of those realities, then they just remain like a bunch of intellectual information. I mean, we talk about jetta seekers. Sanya has the function of marking, vitaka. We talked a lot about vitaka, sanya. And yet it still seems like it's me, it's objects, it's, I guess it's just, there's no real understanding of these realities.
It begins little by little.
And that's where patience comes.
Otherwise,
in.
There's none understanding at all.
And yeah, like I said, that's where patience becomes important?
Parami.
Well, it'd be nice if it was a parami.
It is now.
It is in books.
Not in book. Now.
Now?
Yes.
It can be.
It is.
How do you mean it is?
It's a jetasika.
It's a jetasika, yeah. And it can, while I was...
It arises,
It arises.
But it's not panya.
Not
the,
it's not... Hmm?
It's not. But it's not panya.
It's not panya. Yeah.
But to be a parami, does it not need to arise with some panya?
Panya can condition that moment.
I somehow had the impression that panya needed to arise with the jetasika, which are the paramis, in order for there to be a parami.
Can anyone condition it?
Not by will.
Mm-hmm.
Not by wanting it. It will arise when the conditions are there.
Are we now trying to understand our accumulation, or just understanding whatever appears as just a reality?
Probably the first one.
Not understanding whatever appears now. So how can one understand one's own accumulation? But when there is the understanding of whatever appears, one can see that it's because of one's accumulation. Moment of giving food to the fish. Can you understand your accumulation? See, it's the only moment that one can understand. Without accumulation, it's not. It cannot be that moment at all. And it's a way to eliminate the idea of self at any moment. Really understand that it's conditioned by accumulation, no matter it's anger or whatever it is. Like now, when there's no understanding of whatever appears by accumulation of ignorance. Kusala?
I just wanted to throw the microphone.
No. Yes.
Even on the hands, it's different.
If it's a kusala, you throw this away.
I want it.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me when Achan talked about knowing the present moment is the best way to understand our own accumulations. That when we think about our accumulations, there can be still the idea of I have this habit or these accumulations. But when there's understanding of the realities which appears, then the accumulations can be understood as not me or mine.
When there's the understanding that it's conditioned, not me, then you can understand the accumulation.
Then it's just Dhamma, nothing to do with me or Lucas or anyone else. Dhamma at that moment, that's conditioned. I have a question about vinyati. We know the two kinds of intimation, bodily intimation, kaya vinyati, and speech intimation, vachi vinyati. And I think that Tom just touched on this topic on the boat the other day, but I was actually talking to someone else. And for example, at the moment of requesting the microphone, the citta conditions rupas, citta rupas, all over the body. And I think we can say that the, at the moment of intimating or requesting for the microphone, the bio, the air element is particularly strong, and that the kaya vinyati, the vinyati is an aspect of that bio dhatu that is conditioned by the citta at that moment. Is that correct?
But it's long story about that. It's not a moment of understanding reality which appears. For example, at moment of movement, legs or arms, what appears?
Just air element or softness or depending.
Actually, I think that we think about what conditions it at that very moment to move, but actually that which appears, only that. Yeah. And think about story of kaya vinyati and so on. Like now, the voice is conditioned by vitaka, vichara, thinking and citta. But it does not appear like that at all, as long as there is no understanding of voice and citta, which thinks.
And vitaka. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not as long, because it can be known. Yeah, that is not the ordinary noise or whatever, but it's that which, according to citta, which thinks. So it comes out or speak out like that. No one knows that the vajivinyati, which conditioned that voice at all.
It's just the vitaka and the citta at that moment.
Yeah.
And when it's, in my example, then nothing is said, but there's just the reaching for the microphone, then it's not because there's no vachi vinyati, it's just the kaya vinyati at that moment, conditioned by the citta that conditions the rupas, and the intimation, the kaya vinyati itself can't be known, but can we say it's bio dhatu that is predominant?
Thinking again, yeah.
And when you say in the case of the vachi vinyati, it's the vitaka in particular that conditions it. In the case of the kaya vinyati, then what is it with the citta? Is it vitaka also?
Yeah, because vitaka arises with almost every citta.
So the vitaka is also predominant at that moment?
It touches.
Touches it.
I was thinking about, Ajahn, what you said. Today is tomorrow for yesterday.
Yesterday for tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Today is tomorrow for yesterday.
Oh, it's the tautology, so it's hard. Today?
Yes.
Is yesterday for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now? Is object to be forgotten completely from moment to moment.
But it's difficult to hold on.
When Panya understand that more often, then it condition no attachment too much or so much as before.
Because I don't, for example, understand the goal of the practice, and it seems
of the what
of maga. and
what is maga?
It's eightfold path. Eightfold path.
Now it or
fivefold, yeah.
Whatever can be object of understanding.
Yeah. So, because it seems like a self, always self. try this, try that, no, try this, not.
Thinking?
Yes.
Or?
Thinking.
Okay.
And it seems like really almost all the moments are a self in my life. So, isn't the goal the detachment from, because it seems the self tries to detach from this, that, but isn't the goal detachment from dhammas?
I think that what you call goal is so far away. But what about the near goal? Not the far goal.
This moment.
This moment.
Yeah.
So.
Without the near goal, you cannot attain the far goal. So near, very near, now.
But basically all are dhammas.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they are conditioned to arise.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no me, no thing. Is it a kind of relief? No me,
yes,
no thing.
It is. Sometimes it is a relief.
Only that which appears and disappears all the time. Appears and disappears.
Object changes like sound.
Also the experiences.
I would appreciate so much to know what Jackie thinks about that it is a relief that what appears disappears and no self, that it is a relief. I would appreciate very much if you would say your feelings about that.
Don't through my microphone.
Yes, for some time when I heard Ajahn remind something and feel like not sales, so a lot of relief that I experience. Sometimes happen, and last year that my wife lost her father. This really helpful to understand the reality at the moment, and it's really big relief for me and for my wife and for the families. So when we went into some certain situation, the hard situation, we can notice what a relief it is. But when we have discussion and we get some reminders, sometimes it's happened that it's a little pity at the moment. Yes. And this kind of pity I used to have when I meditate long time ago. When there's certain calmness, I feel like relief, but it's different. And then I noticed that very different when understanding, and we get some relief. It's different from the moment that we have in the meditation practice. That is my experience.
Just talking back to the subject of kusala and how it can seem that a lot of the kusala is done with a sense of self, and I think we all understand what that means, but I think it's helpful to realize that kusala can be performed by anyone, whether they've heard the teachings or not. and we shouldn't shortchange, as it were, ourselves as far as kusala is concerned, because there is also thinking about self, because the kusala is also there. When the kusala act is done, there might be strong ideas of self, or there might be, it might be, seem to be very impure, but nonetheless there are also moments of kusala. It's bound to be mixed. And then I think also it's helpful to understand that the only kind of kusala that helps to eradicate the idea of self is the development of insight and awareness of the dhammas of the present moment. So we shouldn't despair about how impure the kusala is, but realize that it's the development of awareness that will purify that further.
And I'd like to just say something on the sense of relief about what a great lifting of the burden it is to appreciate that there is only the reality appearing now, no other moment, and no matter what circumstances we're in, or how our life takes us, or what country, or wherever we are, with people, without people, it is just living alone at this moment of seeing or hearing, as we're always reminded, and that's such relief, because there's no rule of what should be done or not done, whether we open a book or don't open a book, whether cooking, shopping, whatever time, whatever occasion, there can be understanding and there can be confidence that this is the only path just at this moment. And like Jagrit, we all have difficulties in life. Last year, I was with my close friend when she had an accident and she's still in a coma also, and I was visiting the hospital every day. Oh, this is just normal daily life. But when we appreciate that whatever happens in life just happens by conditions, karma and so many other conditions, it really does lead to more acceptance, more detachment, and more that is, and the most precious development of understanding in life, so that one can live more easily or more naturally, not thinking in terms of what should be done or how at all. And so I think it is a great relief or a great lifting of the burden to develop even just a little bit of understanding.
That's a bit timely, because I was just thinking of, you know, it's when you're with Dharma friends and talking Dharma, and it seems like it's I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's comfortable, it's comforting. And because I'm going back to Australia on Friday, I'm going, oh, I'll just get sucked back into whatever's happening back there. But you're right, it's, if there is a moment of understanding wherever you are, it can be an ease, but then you just might fall right back into dis-ease again. But it's those precious moments, I think, that are really important. And if they don't happen, well, they don't. What can you do?
Sarah, you mentioned living alone with Jitta, or living alone, and living alone with Jitta, and it's one moment at a time, but when there's a moment of understanding, there's no I, no idea of I watching, observing. It's just the moment, and that is a huge relief. And at that moment, or after that moment, one can realize a bit more about what Ajahn says about courage to know realities as they are. No self, no one watching, no one looking.
Dhamma ni dhamma patipati. Dhamma ni dhamma patipati.
Friendly. translation, please.
According. The practice or apply the Dhamma according to Dhamma. Dhamma, new yeah. Dhamma, what he said, correct?
Nibbana,
yeah.
Non-conditioned element.
Direct understanding of the Dhamma if they appear?
Oh, I'm zero in Pali, but it just occurs to me that it can be also translated as direct understanding of Dhamma as they appear. Kunina?
It is the second Dhamma is referring to Nibbana.
So it will lead to eventually lead to enlightenment if there is the understanding of the present moment only that way. So it's very good that Ajahn always points to the present moment instead of thinking about the text or the books or events.
And whatever occurs, whether it's discouraged or forgetfulness or doubt or I mean, just more dharmas, just conditioned at that moment, whatever it is, whatever appears. So I think appreciating or being confident that understanding can develop any time at all, no matter how difficult or easy life seems. It's always seeing, it's always hearing, it's always visible object appearing, attachment, aversion, just dharmas, not my problem or my difficulties at all.
Also, remind us that
that metta can arise, and you can occasionally forget about your own turmoil and think of somebody else.
One of the things that had an impact to me at the beginning of the trip was on the first day or the second day in Hua Hin. Nina was telling Ajahn about her sadness she felt, and I mean we all have similar difficulties or times, and Ajahn's response was, I don't have time to think about me and myself. So
I remember that.
Just that. So it's just the problems of thinking and being so concerned about ourselves most of the time, forgetting all about the others at those times.
Yeah, but this was also mentioned something like internally satipatthana, mahasatipatthana sutta. He dwells urgently and aware on himself and others in Satipatthana, internal and external, aware internally as I remember and externally.
Realities,
his and the others.
As realities.
Yeah.
When thinking of the others, for example, the Jan's example of someone crying, what can be known at that moment?
Can you repeat?
When thinking of the others, for example, thinking of the child that's crying, what can be known at that moment? Because you just said about thinking of the others and oneself and Satipatthana Sutta, so I'm saying thinking of the other, what can be known? What's the reality?
Object.
Just citta, chetasika, or rupa that appears, right? That's all that can be known.
Yes.
And when understanding develops, no thought about it being the others are kusala or my akusala or his tears or my, because it's just the reality which appears. Unpleasant feeling at that moment when one sees a person crying or
that's thinking internal, of, though, isn't it?
Internal,
unpleasant
external
feeling
external.
Is internal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what I'm saying is that the other person's unhappiness can never be the object of understanding. All what can be understood is the thinking, what we call one's own thinking at that moment, the thinking, the feeling, the like, the dislike. I cannot experience your dosa, I can only think about it.
I have not that I experienced dosa.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
no.
It's an example. It's only the reality that appears can ever be the object of satipatthana.
When he cries, you know.
Think about it.
I do.
Your dosa, see?
Adomanasa. I just
so she knows your.
I can think about.
Yeah.
How it was, the Patija Samuppada, the last 5 or 6, the sorrow, lamentation, and everything.
Actually, it's very funny. This morning we were walking, and he said to me, "Oh, I have a problem. I have so much unpleasant feeling." But whenever I look at him on this whole trip, he's just smiling all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
With unpleasant feeling in between.
Yes,
very small moments of unpleasant feeling in between.
But Loba likes everything, really. Yeah. Even the Manasa, I think. Is it?
Oh, really?
Can Domanasa smile?
No, Loba, but the Domanasa, I think, maybe the object.
Ajahn mentioned a lot about the ocean of akusala, or ocean of ignorance. But as far as I would like to get the point that the first ocean of akusala should be the ocean of self that we experience all the time. So this, along with the discussion, we should first understand and get out of the ocean of sea of self first, and then we have sea of loba, sea of avisha, another sea, many sea. But
so the panna eradicates wrong view, but so the panna cannot eradicate attachment to sensuous object and mana and other akusala.
So the sea of self.
Wrong
maybe
view,
priority.
Wrong understanding.
Because I can experience, I can feel that in the daily life, living in the sea of cells.
Thinking about it?
Sometimes not thinking, just...
Like
just
now,
sitting.
See?
Like now, sitting, cell sitting here, cell talking.
It's only thinking about having the idea of self. But does it really arise to be object of understanding?
No, it's not the object yet. But self can be the object of understanding?
All realities can be object of understanding.
When our self, during the time of metta, or the time of understanding the reality, no self at
all. No rule at all.
No rule. So you mean when kusara arises, at any time, at any kind?
It depends on conditions to know it or not.
Suggesting there can be self-view at moments of kusala, because at moments of metta or dana there cannot be self-view at the same time, because it can only arise with lobha mula citta. So moment of metta or dana there cannot be any idea of self at that time. And when you mentioned about knowing self, I think you mean knowing ditti, knowing self-view, because if there's no self to know, so it's only the wrong view of self that can be known.
That's not panjano, just
It's only Panya that can know it. So when you mention about getting rid of self or self-view first and how to get rid of it, it's actually only Panya that can eventually eradicate the idea of self-view by understanding its characteristic when it appears. So this is why Ajahn asked whether it appears now, because, for example, just talking about sitting on the chair, but is there really any self-view arising at this moment? Because if the characteristic of Sakaya Ditti, if the self-view doesn't arise, then it can't be known. So, for example, when there's metta or dana, there's no self-view, so it can't be known at that time. So unless it arises, it can't be known, just like ordinary attachment. Unless there is attachment now, its characteristic can't be known. So now we talk about sitting on the chair, but if there's an idea that in reality there really is Jagrit or Sarah, a person, someone sitting on the chair in truth, then at that moment of taking it for someone or a body, then the ditti at that moment can be understood because it arises and appears at that moment.
There should be a will feeling ditti arise. But if I feel that I'm sitting, no will, that not ditti at that moment.
It depends. Only Panya can know at this moment whether, when we talk about sitting on the chair and have the idea I'm sitting here, only Panya can know at this moment whether it's just ordinary speaking, conventionally, like a Buddha knows he's sitting on the ground, or whether there really is the idea of someone or something at this moment.
The mere idea that I'm sitting here doesn't have to be unlikely to be idea of wrong view of self, because we all always think in terms of I and him and them and people and things. That is conventional thinking, or thinking in conventional terms. But I think what Sarah's trying to point out is that an idea of a wrong view of self is something more than the mere thinking or the mere idea that I'm attending a Dhamma discussion or I'm in Gangridan or something like that. So it's a question of whether there's any understanding of the difference between thinking of I with attachment or with conceit on the one hand, and thinking of I with the wrong view on the other. But perhaps Ajahn could say something about the different kinds of thinking with I.
Yeah, at this moment, does anyone think that I am sitting?
No.
No? See, not at all. Yeah?
I'm sitting.
Now that you mention it.
I'm sitting.
Mentioned, if you're asked, you're bound to think.
Yeah,
I'm
sitting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And it's only thinking that I am sitting. Mm-hmm. Only that. Because where is the I who sits?
So where is ditti when I'm sitting?
When it arises and it is object of understanding. Only that, that it can be the understanding of ditti. As a reality, not I at all. Even ditti is not I. And while you gave food to the fish, what kind of feelings there?
Changing, really.
Yes, but what kind? Just at that very moment, when it doesn't change yet.
Because they are nice.
I don't mind, but I would like to know about the feeling.
A feeling?
Pleasant, yes, pleasant
sure.
Feeling.
I love them now.
So he can tell that it's pleasant feeling. Yes. So that can be told, it can be recognized, but not the understanding of just a reality, not self. That's why whatever appears, nobody can change its characteristic at all. But there can be a moment of understanding whatever appears as not self, as only a reality. Like now, exactly. What is to be developed is understanding of that as not self, that which appears.
So even though that we don't have a long view of self-seeing, but understanding that seeing is seeing no self.
At this moment of seeing, what follows?
Thinking.
About?
What the object that...
About seeing, or what is seen, but no idea of self.
No idea of
usually.
Self. No wrong view about self. But thinking about it will lead to eradicate self, view, wrong view.
Understanding is opposite of ignorance. Without ignorance, there cannot be the idea of self. So at that moment of understanding, there is no self. Because it's only feeling, see? So feeling can be object of lopa, or of panya, or avicca. Who knows? That person, only that person can know.
Ajahn, could you say something more about the meaning of self in the term idea of self? Because we understand it's different from idea of me or idea of individual, idea of this person, that person. So what does self mean in the context of idea of self?
What you take for my hand is hard, right?
Right.
When hardness appears and nothing else there at all, only that which experiences hardness and hardness. Do you still take that hardness for me or my hand, or not at all?
You don't. No.
Not at all, or?
At the moment.
At that very moment.
You don't take it for being.
Really?
Me.
Because you see that when one thinks that my body, no reality appearing, but when hardness appears, even that, where's my body? It's there. Hardness there. There can be the idea of hand or leg or whatever. It's still there. So that is the moment of understanding what is wrong understanding. Taking that for me, like taking the rupa for me or mine. The 20 Sakaya Diti. At that moment, it appears just one characteristic. With it, the rupa is me. For example, right now, no idea that my hand, because hardness does not appear.
Can be an idea of my hand if I'm doing something with it, holding the microphone. But
my visible object.
But when
now, can I just ask? Sorry.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
You said if there's a moment of awareness of hardness, that, like when one's holding a microphone, for example. Do you still take it for...
So where's your hand holding microphone?
It's still there holding
so
the microphone.
So even hardness there.
Right.
You take it for me or mine.
It still seems to be part of...
Otherwise, there is no Sakaya Titi which takes the hardness or the rupa for me or mine.
So you're saying at that moment there is Sakaya Titi.
So Panya can see... Otherwise, there is no eradication of the idea of self at all from whatever you used to take.
Why would there be sakkāyadiṭhi when there's a moment of awareness of hardness of hand?
Panya sees...
Not at other time, a moment of picking up a glass.
Yeah, there's no panya. But at moment when panya sees that which takes hardness for me or mine, panya can see the sakkaya ditthi. Otherwise, that cannot be eradicated.
So normally the sakkaya ditthi is not apparent because...
Right, because everything is not apparent at all. We just talk about words and think about realities, but not the direct understanding of it.
So the more awareness, the more moments of awareness there are, the more sakkaya ditthi becomes apparent.
Let's talk about seeing right now. There is also the idea of my eyes. It's there. Seeing's just there, not at the back or at the hand at all. It's still me or mine. So when it's developed more and more, even seeing is only a moment. Nothing is there except that which sees and the object which is seen. So no clinging to that seeing. Because nothing, no me, no self at all, only seeing. No place for its arising too. Because usually it's here, right? So somewhere here. So here is the body, or part of the body. The eyes are the part of the body. But at moment of understanding, seeing that which experiences, it's no time to think about my eyes, or it's there. It's only that, so one can understand that seeing does not know other reality, like it does not know hearing, it does not know thinking at all, because it just arises and thinks and sees, that's all. Otherwise, it cannot be the realization of the arising and falling away of that particular one. Just only one reality as the object at a time. So there can be the more understanding of what is meant by living alone, alone, only that reality, alone.
So you're saying when there's awareness of seeing or visible object, at that moment there's no thought of I or me.
It becomes clearer because there's nothing in that moment at all except, for example, seeing and right. Whisper object.
But on the other hand, when there's awareness of hardness,
there's still the idea.
There's still the idea.
My hand.
My hand.
Yeah. Otherwise, where's my hand?
So, are you saying that it's just the body door that when there's awareness through the body door.
At that moment, no idea about what door.
No. Well, maybe or may not be, but...
When it's some door or what door, it's thinking.
Yes.
It does mean that there is the fully understanding developed of seeing a visible object. One at a time, one can understand with it that it's in reality just one at a time. But before it can be just one at a time, there are many succession of many things after.
Thank you, Ajahn. That's very interesting. Reflect on that.
Ajahn, when seeing, seeing's no self. But after seeing, I see. So this sakkaya ditthi. Arise.
You don't have to call sakkaya, but there's the idea of me or mine.
The idea is a wrong view of...
You don't have to say that it's wrong view. Right understanding at that moment, just understand the nature, the true nature of reality without thinking.
Like, Ajahn, is this is a palm tree or something? It's also a deity. Or, I mean, is it a tree? I know this is a tree.
I mean, the idea of...
Yeah, that is thinking.
Thinking, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no deity.
Does it arise? Is it object?
No.
So, it's not. Otherwise, you have wrong view all the time, all day.
Your question, Jagrit, it just depends entirely on conditions, what arises. So one moment there can be understanding of hardness as hardness, and afterwards there can be taking it for my hardness or my body, because Sakaya Ditti, the Ditti hasn't been eradicated, so there can be understanding and there can be wrong understanding, there can be doubt. Just depends entirely on conditions, what arises.
I can understand a little bit about and differentiate this. And I would like to ask Tanachan about when we have a wrong view about self, and in the aspect of selfishness, just play around with selfishness and wrong view about selves.
When we talk about reality, we don't talk about situation. Just one characteristic at a time, to be known clearly of each.
Selfishness is a long
thinking.
Thinking.
Most of the time, most of the day, it's just clinging, just attachment to what I would like, and but no view arising, like when children play, it's just lots of lobe and lots of thinking of me, but no wrong view about hardness or taking it for being something or someone, just clinging.
Jonathan, I'm not sure how this is connected. It could be connected or not. Going back to taking what is real for self, often we think my anger or my attachment.
Do you?
Yes.
Anger? About anger, of my anger.
I think about my anger. Not now, but...
No matter when, I don't think that we think about my anger.
I think about being angry. Like, mm-hmm. I am angry.
Angry is there.
Angry. So... In relation to what you were saying to Jonathan, it seems as if somewhere in the process there must be some awareness that anger has arisen in order to call it my anger, you know, or I am angry.
Thinking or experiencing?
Well, both. Experiencing.
Attachment or understanding?
Not understanding.
So it's only experiencing with attachment?
It's experiencing unpleasant feeling.
With? The idea.
With the idea of self.
Not me or me, but that is the reality of anger.
No, I don't think there's understanding of the reality.
For example, anger arises, no matter we call it anger or pleasant, it doesn't matter. No one can change its characteristic at all. It's there.
So when we talk about I am angry, is that wrong view? Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. Is that wrong view?
Do you think like that at moment of anger arising?
At moment of anger? Often, very soon afterwards, like to have aversion for anger.
Like now, my seeing or just seeing? Usually, seeing sees without any idea of my seeing at all. So anger is like that.
Except
the situation out of the ordinary
yes,
occurs.
Yes.
Well, I think what Maeve's describing or asking about is, for example, when a situation out of the ordinary occurs, and we get very angry or very excited, or we may suddenly realize.
And what about the ordinary?
What about the ordinary? Different from. Well, I think she's asking whether when we notice that we're particularly angry or excited.
Does wrong view arises with anger?
No. Wrong view is rooted in attachment. So, as we understand from theory, from reading.
So, what about my anger?
Well, it wouldn't be a moment of anger. It would be a moment of interspersed among the anger. Could be moments of
like now
wrong view.
Could seeing.
Be. Right.
Mm-hmm. Anything.
You often remind us that we take all realities or many for self. My seeing, my hearing. So we are just wondering when it occurs.
When it occurs, you know. It's only time to know it when it appears. Like Parsa and Vedana and Manasikara, when do not appear, how can you say that you know it? You know them.
So we are still unsure about it. We are not sure.
Not necessary to think about that. Just learn to understand the object which appears as a reality. Little by little.
But shouldn't it be useful to know the extent of our
thinking,
taking things
that
for
is
self.
thinking.
Yeah.
Ajahn, I can see where it can be possible to be attached to anger. To feel that it is justified.
But not me or I.
Yes, I think when, if there is thinking.
When it's me or I, it's moment of clinging to that object
yes.
as mine.
Yes.
But at that moment when there is the feeling of anger and it grows or it gets lesser, it's not the idea of I having such and such.
What about
usually, like now, seeing.
Yes.
My seeing, or no idea about it. That is me or mine. See, it
depends.
Indicates that wrong view does not arise as often as we think. We assume that it arises many, many times a day, but in reality, only realities arise and fall away. Followed by another reality. Like, who is thinking that now I am sitting? See, no one at all. And who is thinking about my body? No one thinking about my body. Only sometime when something happened.
Just to go back to what Jonathan said about, and it's why I thought of the example of anger, while visible object seems to arise again and again and hardness again and again in a day, anger is not so common, so it is more noticed perhaps.
In order to know whether there is the idea of self or not, it is only when an object appears and then the self is there taking it as mine, then one can understand the wrong view is there. But when the object appears one moment to another moment, how can one know exactly whether there is the idea of self or not?
So we talked about loba before when we were eating something delicious, and you asked us, or you pointed out that it is still my loba, not yet knowing the characteristic of that reality. So my loba, I was wondering...
Or just loba.
It's not the precise characteristic, but just we name it when there is loba.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that not my loba or belonging to me or...
Thinking only.
It's thinking about loba. That's right. So we cannot be sure whether we take it for self.
When it's not right understanding, it's not understanding. It's only thinking, assuming. Just like now. Only when awareness arises, experiences an object with a little understanding or more and more understanding about that, it can know whether it is wrong understanding, wrong view or not, or just low power or whatever it is, just one at a time, precisely. It's like now. Whether it is seeing consciousness or sampatichanna or santirana or votapana, no idea. And if you think that you take it for self, what takes it? Not sampatichanna, not santirana. So can it be correct to say that there is wrong view of seeing only when it's there? And we don't have to say that it's javana moments at all. Because it cannot be sampatichanna, santirana, votapana. So one can see the difference between the intellectual understanding and the direct understanding. Even there is awareness, different levels of awareness. Panya can know all of these little by little. And this moment can be the proof for the development of understanding.
How little?
Courage, be courageous. And all other paramis, satya, adidana, kanti, viriya.
Can you explain again what you mean by being courageous?
To understand whatever appears. While there is no understanding, a visible object is just that which no one there, no things in it.
And that happens by conditions.
From this moment. Time is up.